Rodney Stoke. It has a delightful church. A famous family gave the village its name, the ancestors of Nelson's Admiral Rodney. In the tiny chapel off the chancel lie Edward Rodney, George, his son, who died at 21, and Anna, his daughter. The best of them all is Anna, perfectly charming under a window, serene in a richly embroidered bonnet with lace collar and cuffs, her sash and sleeves looped with bows, and double rows of pearls on her neck and shoulders. Looking down on her is the grim figure of George. Grim because he is getting out of his coffin with his shroud still on, his hands raised with his hair falling on his shoulders, and above him an angel blowing a trumpet to announce his resurrection. Looking across the chapel towards them are Edward Rodney and his wife, in oval recesses under a curtained canopy, their eyes wide open. Between the chapel and the chancel sleeps the oldest Rodney of them all, Sir Thomas of 1478. Cherubs and angels hang from the canopy of his richly sculptured tomb. A dragon peeps out from a spandrel, and on the tomb he lies, a neat and captivating figure. His head on a helmet with his eagle crest, his feet on a dog, his dagger at his side. Five queer little women look from the front of his tomb into the chancel. One kneeling at prayer for his soul, two counting their beads. And looking into the chapel on the other side, daintily carved on shields, are St. Anne with the Madonna and Child, St. Leonard with the shackles he struck off the wrists of prisoners, and a bishop. A fascinating group the Rodneys are. It would please Sir Edward Rodney if he could come back to see that Rodney folk keeping up the high tradition of the Somerset carving men, the heavily panelled oak roof of the nave and the bowed roof of the chancel with his dainty carvings are as he would see them, but the bench ends are simpler and of our own time.